Coming to you live from the Odyssey. It's a very special edition of Rob Has a Podcast because we are here on the set. Not the bridge, but we are here normally where Arissa stands on the set of Big Brother Canada. And it is my great pleasure to welcome in first the executive producer of Big Brother Canada, Erin Brock, and also the host of Big Brother Canada, Arissa Cox.
Hey, this is the dream team right here.
You got it.
This is the real final two, okay? Big sister and big brother together tonight.
Yeah, well, this is very exciting. Erin, very nice to meet you.
You too. Very nice to meet you. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, and here we are. We're recording this on Wednesday the 10th, and just over a week left here on a great season of Big Brother Canada. And we're really excited to be here in Toronto to be doing the podcast live on Thursday night. So it's a real treat to be here. So first off, thanks for having us. Really appreciate that.
Happy to have you. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, I know. And you know what? We feel it. We feel your love for this season. Yeah. This is a good season, Rob.
Really great season.
Good season.
Really great season. And it totally went the opposite way of how I thought it was going to go.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, but that is always the case with Big Brother. Like, mm-hmm. I have, you know, never do I ever try to predict what's going to happen because I learned so quickly. We started this ridiculous adventure 5 years ago, and I thought, I've produced tons of TV. I totally know what's going to happen. And it's just like so surprising every time I start every season. Now people think I have winners picked or that I've cast people to have showmances. It's like none of that happens. I'm shocked every time at what happens. It is always surprising. And you can, I never would have thought that we would be here with these five that we have right now. Not in a million years.
I mean, I don't think that we would have thought this a couple of weeks ago that we would be here with with this five. And I really thought it was going to be that the veterans were just going to spit out the newbies. And, you know, poor Mark the first week that he went, Dimitri stayed, and the die was cast where every single week it was, you know, a major person going home.
Yeah, it didn't seem like there was a week where things got slow or you kind of lost interest. It was like steady gameplay. And I think, you know, in an average season, you might have four or five really strong, like, characters or game players. Mm-hmm. I think we have, like, 9, 10, 11, 12 in this season. And that has given this season the energy, too. I mean, we worked so hard to make the show. Erin will tell you, it's relentless. I mean, to me, this is like, I just feel like I roll in, roll out. Like, this is like your baby, and you must be so proud, you know?
I am so proud of the season. I will say that I thought the vets, so again, like, I'm always wrong, constantly wrong. I thought the vets would play together longer. I was shocked how quickly they turned on each other. I was shocked. But I also think that they know how good they are. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think the newbies surprised them really quickly. Like, we put in, when we were casting the show, you know, Robin Cass casts our show, we talked a lot about how strong we knew the vets were that we wanted to go into the house. And we talked about the newbies having to be as strong. And we couldn't put in people that would be, you know, eaten for breakfast, as everyone online was saying. They were going to all
myself
be eaten
included.
For breakfast.
Yeah.
And we sat there going, you have no idea who we're putting in. Like, we knew we had to put in, each one of those newbies was a force.
Yeah.
You know, and we knew they wouldn't back down, and we knew they wouldn't be afraid, and we knew they weren't going to sit in the shadows. And they've made me proud. They've all made me proud. The vets have made me proud. The newbies have made me proud. It's been unpredictable, and it's been, I mean, an incredible season. Like we always say, it's so funny to see the house guests when they're like, you know, jaw open all the time. But that's actually how we feel as the producers and everyone who works on the show. Every week we're like, no, he didn't. No, she didn't. What? So it's like such a journey. I mean, that's the brilliant thing I'll just say quickly about the show. The most brilliant thing is that it is the ultimate reality show. There is no, you really cannot, as much as people complain and they think you produce the show and they think you put a twist somewhere because you want something to happen or a challenge somewhere because you want someone to win. It's all a load of crap. None of it is produced in that way. It's all planned before we even know who the house guests are. We don't change that type of stuff.
Amen. First of all, I just want to break in
with
that.
I know. It's the truth.
Preach, Erin, preach.
But the thing is that other than deciding when you start the season, here's the theme of the season, here's, you know, the direction we're going to take it, it happens in real time. And when you're producing an hour of television every 48 hours, you can't produce it. Mm-hmm. And you can't make someone a hero and make someone a villain. In the run of a season, look at Dylan. He's been a villain. He's been a hero. He's been a Casanova. He's been a bully.
Like, I forgot about that.
Yeah, they've all been everything.
Yeah.
And that's to me, that's the most inspirational thing about sort of sitting at the helm of the show, is that it's really, truly, truly real. It's real.
When you guys went through and came up with the veterans that you were going to bring back, was there anything specific that you guys were looking for? Because it was a really eclectic mix of people. You had people who were sort of like the, great players. They should have won. And then there were also some other people who were in the mix. But was there any sort of trait that you were looking for with trying to find that group?
No, we were looking for people who we thought the audience would want to see have a second chance. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't meant to be, they're all all-stars. So I do want to say that. And they would all probably be in an all-star season. But we didn't approach it like this is an all-star season. We approached it like who got screwed by a twist. In Big Brother Canada, we do a lot of twists.
I've heard.
Although we don't do a lot this season, but we have some seasons we do a lot. Mm-hmm. Depends on the season. It depends on what we want to do. We made a conscious choice going into this season that we weren't going to do that this year. Doesn't mean we won't do it again in the future. But so we just thought that people get screwed by our twists. And so what an opportunity to give them a chance to play again. So that's the case with some of them. Mm-hmm. Some of them, were like Netta, who really played such a brilliant game and was so incredibly brilliant. And at the end of the day, Big Brother's a bit of luck, a lot of great gameplay. At the end of the day, John made that big move and off she went. And we thought the audience would love to see her play again. Mm-hmm. So it was really about finding people that we felt people really wanted to see get another chance at the game. And all for different reasons, for different reasons.
And I really felt that, being on stage and welcoming them all back, like that was, it's always magical when new house guests go in. Magical. Anytime it happens, it's one of the best days of their lives because the possibilities are endless and they could all picture themselves winning. So that's like incredible for me to be a witness to that up close and personal. When the 8 vets came in, had such a different flavor. Like, it felt so good to welcome them. Yes, it felt so good to welcome them back to this experience because especially if they left with unfinished business. Mm-hmm. And I think that was particularly true for certain people more than others. Gary, Netta, Bruno, Kevin.
I was just going to say the ultimate second chance, Gary. He won the show.
Yeah.
He won.
Yeah.
But he didn't win.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of those crazy stories on Big Brother Canada. And so that's what inspired us.
I think the best casting choice that you guys made this season, and I don't know if it was an easy one or one that you guys had to push for, was Aika Wong. I believe...
You don't say.
I believe that Aika, potentially, I think she might be the greatest reality TV person in history because...
In history. In history, Aaron.
Hear me out, because I don't know if there's anybody else who is as, just... unpredictable, beautiful, knows the game, is a strategist.
Funny,
hilarious. There's no weakness. If you were gonna come, design the dream casting choice, I don't know how anybody tops her.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. She might not have lasted past week 2.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I think there's certain people.
Well, look at her first season.
That's it, right? You don't know, and. It's unbelievable that she's sticking around because she could have flamed out immediately.
I think for me, when Aika was on, the minute Aika walked into the casting room for season 2, you know it when you see it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not only is she everything you said, she's also not inhibited. She's emotional. She's an incredible human being, actually, quite frankly, beyond just being an incredible casting choice.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget when she first walked in season 2, and it was so disappointing how early she went home. She, with that letter shredding, she went out with a bang.
Oh,
I think that was voted like one of the best reality moments of the year that year. Yeah.
In the world.
Big Brother around the world. She is, but as a producer.
Yeah.
It was incredibly, it can be heartbreaking when they leave. You're thinking, the most gold TV of all time is walking off the stage and leaving.
Yeah.
But we have, we can't affect their game and we have
to let
them play how they play. And if they go early, they go early. But I think that certainly we felt she's a different second chance story than someone like a Gary who won but didn't win, or Netta. She was one of the best people we'd ever had as a pure entertainment personality in her first season. Now, I think now we're seeing how good a gamer she is. And I think we knew that on the inside. But for us, this was people just want to see her again. They just want to see her have a second chance. But the answer to your question is absolutely not a hard sell. Every single person at the broadcaster was on board. Of course they wanted her back. It was like, if we can't get Aika, we can't do this. That's how we felt. Part of this, whole idea was based on these stars that we've created here. you know, and her being one of them. And she's a TV producer's dream come true.
Yeah, and the unique relationship that she's had with Dimitri's this season has really been very fun. And in terms of, like, we've seen the showmance before on Big Brother, but this seems unique. Where,
special.
Yeah, that, you know, it's not like that they're trading off comp wins back and forth like a Jillian and Emmett did, or that they are like sort of like a, you know, like a Brendan and Rachel, or have that sort of dynamic. It's just been that they're so different. But they're so effective together.
I think a lot of people, I mean, this is a response I've gotten, or the feedback I've gotten from so many people, is that they're like, I don't like showmances. I normally don't root for them. I don't like a showmance.
People love a showmance.
Let me tell you, this season, they love a showmance.
Like showmance.
They love a showmance. These people, it's just, you would never assume, looking at these two, that they would get on the way they do, that they would really fill each other out and compliment each other the way they do, and really do genuinely have each other's backs, which is crazy because they were strangers, you know, like just a few months ago. And they, at this point, they would lay down their games, their lives for each other. And that is thrilling to watch no matter what.
I think people love a showmance. I think it's not true when people say they don't love a showmance.
Yeah.
I think what people really love in a showmance, and we've been very lucky in Canada with this for the most part, is when it's authentic.
Yeah.
And we've had quite a few of those here. But Dimitri and Aika is so authentic. That relationship is so fascinating. There's 10 years between them. They come from such different lives. Aika being a teen mom and having to sort of scrape her way to the top and get her life together. Dimitri's like this fun-loving world traveler. They're very, very different people. I would have never in a million years picked them to have a showmance. I never thought Aika was having a showmance. I never saw that happening.
I don't think she saw that happening. But
and in fact, watching it develop was so fascinating because he was so in love with her, which who wouldn't be, by the way? I think we all feel that way. And he was so in love with her and such a puppy dog, and she was kind of brushing him off. And then it's developed into this extremely mutual, very authentic relationship.
They get each other in some weird alien way, but I mean, so they like, did do it in space.
Like
so
movies and TV shows, people like love.
Yeah.
You know, and
when it's real, when it's real.
That's what I'd say.
Yeah. And I think that the difference between the showmance that people like to watch and maybe one that they don't, it's like, when we've had this more in the US version where it's like the showmance is just gonna, they just lay in bed all day. Yeah. That's it. And with
shade.
Look, I'm just that it's boring. It gets boring and people don't want to watch that. But you know, that Aika, you can never say that anything she's doing is boring.
No.
So that's been really exciting. So you have that story going
they
on.
They also have this happening a lot.
Up and down.
They love each other. I mean, it's amazing.
And it'll be really interesting to see if they get to the point where one of them wins a final HOH.
Is it
a John and Netta situation, or does one of them go with the other? And how could that affect this relationship?
Well, you know, we should talk about the chink in the armor, though, because Kevin is playing.
Yes, well, that's what I was going to say.
Kevin is playing.
The other side is you have this other really amazing story going on where you have Kevin, who is his own country out there. Nobody is working with him, and he's attempting to defy all of the odds and get to the end. And nobody in Canada or U.S. has been able to
win out from that far back.
From that point. So you really have these two simultaneous amazing stories happening at the same time. Ultimately, one is going to prevail over the other.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you must be happy with Kevin on the show this year because
I am. I think
what
Kevin
a journey.
Gets a lot of shade. I think people give Kevin such a hard time, and it kind of shocks me.
Mm-hmm.
He is smart. That guy is so smart. I know he can come off as a little bit calculating and cold, but isn't that what people want in gamers on the show?
Yes.
Like, it sort of surprises me that he gets so much criticism. I think that Kevin is brilliant in his own way. I think he does it very differently.
Mm-hmm.
It is not loud and in your face. It is not I'm playing with honor. It is not those things. Mm-hmm. It is the opposite of that. You know, I mean, there's a lot to talk about with what's happened very recently, which is, you know, the decision he made
is
a very interesting decision. But I think he makes big moves. I think he's had hugely important wins when it matters. And I think he has, is as, what's the word I'm looking for? Like justified in being where he is, as Ika is and as everyone else who's there. Mm-hmm. I sort of find it funny when people like the whole floater thing and, oh, Karen's been carried to the end. Like to me, I watch what happens. I live here 24/7.
She does. Cosine.
7 days a week. I see everything that happens in that house. And every single one of those five have fought to be where they are. That no one has floated their way. It is half torture, half fun. It is a hell ride inside that house. It truly is. Mm-hmm. And Kevin has been very smart. I find it interesting. It fascinates me. Like, do you like Kevin?
Yeah, I like Kevin.
You do?
I've gotten to meet Kevin in real life,
right.
And he seems like, you know, a really nice guy. I'm, you know, totally not a Karen in this area.
What? You don't like Karen?
No, I like Karen.
No, no, she's,
I'm not a Karen.
She's not a Karen.
Not
whose mission in life is
Kevin,
to make sure that Kevin Martin does not win this game.
Yes.
Kevin is fascinating. Don't sleep on Kevin.
Right.
You know him. He's been studying. He's been trying to play this game like an emotionless robot. Taryn, mm-hmm. take notes. Okay.
Yes.
Taryn needs to take some notes on that. But he's been great to watch because don't you find it fascinating that you cannot push him over the edge? Do you notice that?
He's been burned
Ika
so many times.
Ika could come at him with the full force of Ika, which would... We've seen her make grown men cry, multiple grown men cry at the same time.
Yeah.
Kevin, you can't like push him over. You can't. He's got this insane patience, and I'm sure that's the same type of patience he employs as a poker player and when he's trying to keep his cards close to his chest. But he's been amazing to watch. He had that incredible clutch victory, and thank God for Kevin because
clutch victory.
Yeah,
truly.
But can you imagine?
I just have to say about the clutch victory while you're talking about it. One of the things that we sort of dreamed of when we went into this season of Big Brother and bringing back, then this is not excluding what we dreamed of with the newbies. That's a different thing. But one of the big things about this whole season was how cool is it to give some people that were somewhat screwed by the game for all different reasons, a chance to rewrite their history within the Big Brother Canada house. And what did Kevin do?
Yeah.
He rewrote his history. Like, it was goosebumpy to me. It was incredible.
That moment, right.
For everybody watching,
he was put on the block and he won that POV.
Yeah, it was the triple eviction. And he said, no, don't do this. Don't put me on the block here. I can't do this. And then to have him win the veto and sort of like right that wrong.
Can you imagine me standing here? Can you imagine me standing here? I was like, please, please, BB gods.
Yeah.
Do not make me have to send this guy home again on a triple.
And it was really close. I mean, he was going home if he didn't win that. They
had
turned their back on him. They'd made this deal. They were going to have this business plan. They were going to stick together. But then Ika, and kudos to Ika, when you get a chance to get out Kevin Martin, you get him out. She knows how good he is. As much of a hard time, and she says, your game doesn't
stack. She respects him. No, she respects him.
She knows how good he is.
Yeah.
And for him to win that, I mean, that, again, is like the TV gods in a way, as a producer, right? But also, that guy didn't sleep for 2 years. Like, when he came back, this year, he said to me, I've had nightmares for 2 years about that triple eviction.
Wow.
He had no idea whether or not it was in this season. He didn't know what he was coming into. We don't do it every year.
Yeah.
And for him to have that victory, to me, I think that is a brilliant moment and just as entertaining as some of the brilliant things Ika's done. I think he gets the short end of the shift sometimes, Kevin Martin.
Yeah, I totally get it. And I think that, you know, sometimes I read some of the fans say that, you know, he's like such a golden boy and he has like that feel like that he, you know, why do people think he's such a strategist? That people love to pounce when he makes a move that doesn't go his way and pile on Kevin. But
Every single one of them in that house has made a bad game move.
Yeah.
Every single one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, people talk louder when he makes one and whatever. It's because he's not as, I mean, I don't think he's as, for the audience, always as likable. You know, I think that thing with William and Kevin was
awkward.
Hard for some people to watch.
Because
they felt like William was being used. And so I think at times it's easier to pounce on him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But I truly believe he gets the short end of the stick.
But here's what I love about his story and what we're seeing now with Ika as well, is it's like two sides of the same coin. We saw Nutta go out. She did worse than she had the first time. I mean, she got evicted by a friend / ally, Bruno, like a twist helped him out the door again. Cindy, you know, helped blindside her friend and ally and got evicted the following week. That happened again.
Mm-hmm.
seeing these stories play. No, but
it's
right?
It's crazy.
It's crazy. You can't write it. If we could write it, we'd be like millionaires.
Yeah, that's right.
We'd be millionaires.
<That's> right.
Yeah. I don't want to leave Karen out
because she's
also been on her own journey, which could somehow end with her and Kevin in the final two. And you have to go back to like a Big Brother US 2 to get people in the end that don't care for each other.
No.
Yeah.
To put it lightly.
Yeah. And that could happen, which is like, you know, Karen, like her entire game is like, all I want is to get Kevin out of the house. And she could end up in the end with him.
Oh, she's so funny.
She is so funny. Their relationship is like, again, you can't write it. The fact that she has such a hate on mm-hmm. for this kid. But again, it's Kevin. So
for like a reason that even as the producers, we don't totally
It escapes
understand.
Us. Yeah. It escapes us. But again,
I liked you
if it
in
was,
Big Brother 3.
Yeah. But now?
Now?
But now, if it was anybody but Kevin, it would be very, very hard for me to watch. Because what has this guy done to you personally that it is your, you know, mission in life to make sure he doesn't win this game? Because it's Kevin?
She'll give up winning the game for Kevin not to win it, which is kind of crazy.
I think she would too. But I think that if it was anyone but him, it would be hard to watch. Because it's Kevin, who really, I mean, he's in the moment, but he's also watching it as if he's out of his body. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's watching it like he's watching the show a lot of the time, which is so unique about Kevin's game. So I feel like he can take it all because he laughs about it. He thinks it's funny. Like,
or he uses it to his advantage, quite frankly.
Yeah.
That's the thing about him.
Mm-hmm.
Karen to me is like such a delight.
Yes.
So, I mean, just to say a few things that aren't about game, so naturally funny. The timing on that woman is like, you cannot teach someone that. She is, heartfelt. What I love about her in this show is I think Big Brother is about more than just a game. I know some people would say differently than that, but to me, it's about life. It's a social experiment at its very core. When we started the Canadian version of this show, we came at it doing the North American format because our broadcaster also carries the U.S. show.
Mm-hmm.
But we really wanted to bring some of the international inspiration to this show when we did it. And the very beginning of the show was a social experiment. It wasn't really a game. It was about taking people from all different walks of life and locking them in a house together and seeing what happens. So this is, for me, what I find brilliant about Karen. Imagine being a 53-year-old woman in a house with all of those kids that are slobs and messy and emotional. And like you're 20 years beyond that in your life. All the stuff going on, the drama, the romance, everything that's happening. And imagine trying to relate to them,
mm-hmm.
to actually have friendships with them and authentic connections so that you can stay in the house. I think watching her journey has been so relatable for people. I think back to that scene we had in a show quite a long time ago, you know, halfway through the season, where Gary was making French fries.
Yeah.
And she was like, you millennials. I'm not going to swear, but that girl has the mouth. Like, it is really the best thing I've ever seen. And she was just getting mad about the fact that millennials want everything right now and so quickly. And you can't even put the oven at 350 and wait 30 minutes. You have to do it at 425 for 10 minutes. Like, her experience of living with all of these young millennials, mm-hmm. I think has been so fun to watch.
Oh,
yeah.
One of the reasons that she works, and when you look at putting in a character who is 20 years older than everyone else, you have to look at someone who still feels young in their spirit, which Karen is young in spirit. And I think that makes a big difference. And she's playful and she'll do all the missions. We all just saw her do the twist we did on letter shredding.
Priceless.
Was
priceless.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You know, she's up for anything. But for me, what's so brilliant about her, I mean, I think she has played a good game, actually. I think she's very smart about the game. But on top of it, I think Karen represents the very heart of what Big Brother is, which is all people from different walks of life. And she's been brilliant when she talked to everyone about sharing her wisdom. I found the connection between her and Gary so lovely to watch, this sort of young guy and Karen. And I think she's brought a lot of really interesting life lessons to the show, which I really appreciate.
And also the straight love for Big Brother. Like,
she
has watched every episode of every U.S. and Canadian season there has been. She knows people's stories back and forth. Like, she knows her stuff. And she loves this game so much. And, like, the fact that she got to see Marsha,
The best.
Yeah.
The best. Like before it all wrapped up.
Paranoia is really the best.
It's real. Paranoia is real.
It's real. Yep. That is real. When we did that one twist, we did that one twist we did this year where the house got to nominate and she had to step up on that thing.
Right, right.
She truly thought she was going to be vaporized. It's not a joke. She truly was like, I'm going to be vaporized and I don't know if I can get up here.
That's a really good impression.
Yeah. Oh no, I can do her so well.
Really?
I'm not going to do it now.
Oh, okay. Okay. No pressure. Okay. All right.
But she fully, like the paranoia is the realest thing you've ever seen. And it's so entertaining. I loved her last one too. There's a bed. Three from the left.
Three from the left.
It's hexed.
Can you talk a little bit more about Karen with the twist that you guys did that or the quote unquote twist?
The shockwave.
Yeah, the shockwave with doling out the punishments. Like, how does that come up internally? If you could talk a little bit.
So the way the show is sort of, you probably know who Trevor Boris is.
Yes.
He's actually a supervising producer. He is not. He gets called a challenge producer, but he does much, much more than that on the show. And the way that we really, Trevor and I work as creative partners on Big Brother, and we sort of sit down in August and September and we map out the entire series. Mm-hmm. So when we kind of came up with this concept, the spaceship concept came before and the vets versus newbies came before. That sort of comes before then. But then we start thinking, okay, here's the big concept. So now let's look at the show and what we want to do. We thought, what a perfect season to sort of take some of our old iconic moments with this whole, there's no real space and time this year, and bring them back with a twist. So this was something we thought about in September, but we wanted to do it differently. Didn't want to just remake Ika's Letters. You can never remake Ika's Letters. Ika's Letters really is probably the most brilliant moment we've ever had on this show and probably will be for all time. But we wanted to, with Ika, you know, we thought, well, I wonder if Ika would still be in the house. I mean, who, we didn't know, but it was just like, felt like the right time to redo something like that. But we wanted it to be different. So it's sort of like, how can we do it, but do it differently? And we thought it would be really funny to kind of take the piss out of it and to not be serious about it and to make it a joke. And to, because it was so serious the first time.
Right.
Well, it wasn't a joke at first. Oh my God, they're bought it all, right?
That's what we were dreaming for. So basically, and we didn't want to just do letters. We thought, wouldn't it be funny that close to the end of the game to come up with concepts that are literally would ruin their game.
Yeah.
But that they would believe. So Trevor and his team sort of came up with those concepts of what they were. And then sort of thought about who would be the most believable to give it to. And then as we were getting closer, as the weeks were winding down, we were thinking about who would be here. And we were all kind of like, if Karen is still in the house, because Karen wants to be an actress. I don't know if you guys all know that.
But she could be.
Her acting career has been re-inspired by that moment. So we were like, if Karen is still in the house, then we definitely have to have her do this. And just because she's such a fan, we thought she'd be brilliant with Marsha. Of course, the brilliant Trevor Boris is Marsha, as I think everybody
knows.
Yes. The story of how Marsha came about is for another time.
Yeah.
That's how it came about, and it was brilliant. And we were so happy with it. And I couldn't have asked for more from Ika, who was in that position to be as upset as she was.
I'm not mad!
Yeah. I'm not mad! The best. Yeah. Oh, I loved it so much.
We really have been loving everything this season. I'm getting the signal that I think you're.
Can we talk about the full top five though at this point?
Well, we need to. 2 minutes. Okay, so that you want to.
I just want to. You know what I mean?
Also leave you two to keep talking.
Okay. Yeah. We could. We could just. She's like, I got stuff to do.
Well,
a show
I
to put to bed.
I'm just gonna say I have a show going to air tonight. That's just being finished upstairs.
I really appreciate it.
No, I'm so happy to be here, and it's. I don't know if you can tell, but I love this show passionately and deeply, and I'm always excited about it. And I could sit here and talk about it for 4 hours if I had the time. And I love being a part of it. It's been a great gift in my career to be a part of the show. And in fact, this is sort of an interesting thing, not that this is about me, but I'll just make it about me for one second.
That's fine.
Right.
When I started this show, a lot of people who were on the show had watched every season of the U.S. show. I had actually never watched the U.S. show when the people who own Insight Productions said, we want you to run Big Brother. Mm-hmm. I'd never seen it. And in some ways, I actually think that's really good, really a good thing. But at the time, I was like, Big Brother, like, okay. And it's really proven to be the greatest gift in my career. It's the most fun show to produce. Mm-hmm. I think it's the most creative show to produce. I think that it allows you to, it's a huge playground, you know, and we have so much fun and we don't ever take it for granted. We feel so lucky to be here every year that we're here. We hope to be back again the next year. And we want to keep it exciting for everybody.
Yeah.
Well, we really do.
Great job with everything this
Thank
season.
You.
We were hoping for many, many more Big Brother Canada
Hold
seasons.
On.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
I'm not actually crying. Erin. Erin, this woman is a genius.
Yeah.
This woman is a certified genius. And no, but everything you say, I echo. And because I experience, probably out of everyone who works on the show, I probably experience the show most like a fan mm-hmm. because I'm not part of the creative, mm-hmm. right? So I have a very different role on this show, but as somebody who truly does like love it to work with a team that lives and breathes it and has such passion for it, led by Big Brother over here, led by Erin, it's a gift. That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, it's a gift.
Okay, this is like a crazy love fest. What's happening here?
I don't know.
It's great. Normally we're screaming at each other. This is amazing.
You scream?
Oh no.
No, I scream.
Can you imagine?
Yeah,
she screams.
No, I scream. I'm scary, right? A little bit.
You have to be.
Yeah.
What do you mean? She's the boss.
Like, are you finding me scary, Rob?
He's terrified. Look at him. He's shaking.
Yeah, not too much. Not too much.
Erin, he's like, I've never seen Rob. I've never heard Rob like this before.
Just a little bit.
I just have to say, too, I don't know when you're posting this podcast, but there is still a lot of surprises to come this season.
All right. We'll try to get this up as soon as possible.
As soon as you can. I think this last week of the show, I think the house guests, there's a lot more moves to come. I don't even know what they're going to do. I have no idea what's going to happen with this whole...
The end game is going to be fantastic.
Kevin pulling Ika off, Dylan going up. What's going to happen in that whole world? I have no idea. So I think it's going to be exciting.
And then finale week, what's the schedule? It's back to regular schedule Monday, Wednesday, and then 2 hours on Thursday?
You got it. And Wednesday's our special eviction, right? And then Thursday is the big finale. So I think it's going to be great. You guys keep talking about the final five because I feel like they all deserve their due.
That's what I'm saying, right?
They are all completely brilliant. So I know you will do that. But so nice to meet you, Rob.
So nice to meet you, too. Yeah, and congratulations with everything.
You. Yeah, it's a great season.
Awesome. Okay, Erin.
Here, slide
I'll
on
see you later. Do you believe, Erin, you got that time with her?
That was
She doesn't do
fantastic.
This every day.
That was fantastic. So, Rissa, first off, great to be here again with you in person.
Of course,
still.
always. Well, we did it on the phone once, but we've never done it in person.
Yes.
Which is so crazy. I'm almost taller than you.
Yes.
Not really.
It's not
the hair and the heels.
It's not that impressive.
But the first thing people say when they see me is, you're so short. I'm like, I am so short.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk through these people that are left still in the house.
Okay.
Dylan is somebody we haven't talked about much.
Yeah. We can talk about Dylan because he's someone who easily could have flamed out early as well. I feel like his journey has been fascinating to watch because... He's somebody who has, you know, that thing that champions have, that professional athletes have, where winning is like a real thing. It's like the idea that they could stop trying before winning is just like they don't understand it. They've been trained to go to that crazy place mentally.
Yeah.
I think that's something that he definitely has. And I can't wait to see how that plays out in the end game. But man, I don't know what kind of miracle he would have to pull now.
Yeah.
It's tough.
It'll be tough for him. You know, and we talked so much about Ika, but we haven't talked about Dimitris.
Yes.
I actually think that that's my pick. I think he's going to end up being the
winner. Wow.
I'm interested to know from you if you think that the comp wins are a super important part of winning this game. Because when we take a look back at a lot of the winners of this game, Jillian won a lot of competitions. Mm-hmm. John won a lot of competitions. Yep. Sarah, she was fine.
She won a few.
She was fine.
She won a few. She won a few critical ones.
But the Pax brothers, that you can say a lot of things about them, but you know, they won a lot of competitions. Mm-hmm. And now here's Dimitris potentially. It seems like that is like the unified theory of Big Brother Canada.
Well, although I feel like being a comp, Dimitris is a comp beast, no question.
Maybe the best one yet.
Maybe the best one. I mean, he's very close to the record at this point. What I think people forget about, though, is that his social game is fire. Mm-hmm. Like, Dimitris, people don't talk about it. People think about, okay, Ika's social game and strategy and her mind for strategy is, like, incredible. Mm-hmm. But people forget about that part of Dimitris that will leave a kind message for Jackie as she's leaving the house that will come in and sort of mop up some of the mess that other people have made. He really does have an incredible social game. And I don't think he could have gotten that far if he hadn't won comps, B had Ika on side. We almost lost in first week,
sure,
right?
Sure.
And that was in part, you know, a lot of her and Gary. But I think he also has this way about people. So I don't know if you can say just the fact that he's a comp beast can get him to the end. Maybe some people. Mm-hmm. Right. But I think he's a very, very unique case. He's been so interesting to watch, so lovable. He really is this guy who's like, you know, it's an adventure. Big Brother's an adventure.
Yeah.
You know, I think what I'm trying to think if I saw him cry. Oh, no, I saw him cry when he was having that moment with Karen and Ika. I remember that. First of all, and also big shout outs to his sister running Twitter because she is hysterical. But I think seeing him with Ika has been a singular surprise of the season.
Do you think that if he got to the final two with Ika, do you think that he would actually say for people to vote for him, or do you think that he would stand there in front of that jury and say, hey, everybody,
you know what? I'm not gonna predict that.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna predict that. I think that'd be an incredible final two. I don't even know if that's actually possible.
Yeah.
It's possible.
It's really interesting. And then would the jury honor that request also?
Mm-hmm. Because they're going to have their own ideas and their own axes to grind. And then some of them are going to be more interested in appearing to be not a jury member. We forget about that too, right? There's people who are like, I don't care. I'm going to do what I want to do. And there's people who are already thinking of their story and their narrative, and they want to make sure they're on the right side of choosing the winner. So anything could happen. Yeah. Like, this could be a John and Netta situation with either of them, or it could be, you know, I want to be sitting in a final two with this person because they were my ride or die this whole game, and I want to prove that to everyone.
And then on the other side of it, you have Kevin and Karen, and I don't know if we've had like a contentious final two where the final two people are killing each other.
I would. Are you kidding? Like a Karen Kevin final two is phenomenal. Even the idea of that.
Yeah.
These two people who just, and I'm not even going to say, it's not really back and forth. It's literally just
one-sided.
Karen. It's totally one-sided, but that would be incredible too. I think any combination that we're getting to at this point, you know, after tomorrow night, we're going to be down to the final four. Any combination, I'm cool with.
And then
when does that happen on Big Brother, first of all? When do we get nice things? BB Gods?
Not often.
When?
Not often. What was the biggest surprise for you this season? Is there anything that that you...
Ooh, you know what? I think that's easy. One, that the vets didn't all work together, nor did the newbies.
Yeah.
I think that was your early surprise, which was destroyed quickly. We're like, oh, wow, okay. So what? A newbie wins first HOH and they take out another new... What? I mean, there's so many things where it was like, huh? Which great made for great television, but... For me, the biggest surprise was how quickly we started using some of the legends of Big Brother Canada. I mean, watching Survivor Game Changers at the same time, and it was like, Tony, Malcolm, JT, Sandra. Like, it was crazy, right?
It was a tough spring for all of us.
That's how it felt. And I remember, I think I might have spoiled that for Netta, to be honest, after our Facebook Live, because I was like, do you watch Survivor? She's like, yeah, I love Survivor. I was like, oh my God. I'm like, you think this is bad? You think this season is bad? You want to talk about all the legends falling? And she's like, what? And I think the words queen slipped out. I should never have said that. She's like, Sandra, no! And I was like, I just completely spoiled, like, the first half of Survivor. No, but I think watching, I mean, obviously it was tough to lose Mark.
Yeah.
Cutie. And he really did throw a Hail Mary. I mean, it was only one vote.
Yeah.
He very easily could have said, we might never have seen Jamaica. Dallas, I heard too.
Yeah.
You know, cause he really tried everything. Like he didn't not campaign. You know what I mean? Tried everything, but it was when we lost Cassandra and then the following week, Gary, it was like, this is bloodshed. This season is a bloodbath, and it's never stopped. Like, I feel like the pace has been so great. And it's just propelled us right through. And you're right. I can't think of a week.
Yeah.
Week. See what I did there?
Yeah.
But I can't think of a moment where I was like, oh, okay. No, it was like constant on the seat of your pants. And I mean, I turn to stone. If you see me in the house, right? Anytime I'm talking in there, I turn to stone. Yeah. In my head, I don't know. Fireworks? Is that, can I say that? That's what it feels like.
Yeah. Well, Arissa, I know you have to get back to making this show, but I really appreciate you spending some time with us today.
Oh, that's
awesome.
And
I know that I speak for all the fans. Everybody really appreciates how much, you know, enthusiasm you have for the show. And I think that, you know, I'm sure you hear it all the time, but I think everybody also gets how much energy you have for this. And it's really appreciated.
That's amazing to hear. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. Yeah. So coming from you, that means a lot because you really know your stuff. And big shouts out to your team. The amount of hours of podcasting that you have put in.
It's a lot.
To make the experience of this show that much richer for fans who are really into it. I mean, that's something very, very special. So kudos to you too.
Yeah, well, the game doesn't stop for 3 months and we don't stop talking for the whole 3 months. But I'm sure you're looking forward to some rest after we get through the gauntlet.
Yeah, and I can't, but I'm, you know, part of me is so excited that it's going to come to a close. But the other part of me is like, my God.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to look at my phone and be like, what is this for? Do I make phone calls on it? Like, if I'm not looking up, you know, live feed reports and on social media and, you know, checking out clips for the show, I mean, I don't know what it's for, but I think everyone's going to, I don't know, my husband's particularly happy to get me back.
Yes.
He's like, I don't know who are you again? Right. I'm like, hi, I'm your wife. But I'm looking forward to getting back to life, of course, but I can't say enough about how unexpectedly phenomenal this season has been, and it's been everything we could have dreamed of and more.
All right, well, great job, and thanks again so much for having us here in your house.
That's
here.
Right.
This is such an honor to be here.
Thank you, Rob.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you, team. Thank you, listeners.
Thanks again.